Sometimes asking with Nicodemus, how can these things be? Give us enough light to step out in faith and to serve you as best we can. Amen. And now, sorry, my computer's freaking out a little bit. Okay. Now let's listen for God's word from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?"
Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?"
Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Elaine. So, folks, first of all, I will give you a little heads up. Oh, my goodness, Ken is here. Wow, that warms my
heart. Hey, guys.
Great to see you, Ken.
Oh. Morning, Ken.
Morning.
And I know a bunch of people have joined, and I'm delighted to see Brittany. And yes, Yes, she got here before you, Ed, I'm going to say. But it's great to see you all, and I am really glad to be back. I definitely missed you all, which I have to admit, I was a little surprised at. I thought I'd be fine with a day off, but I did miss you all. And I also missed Pentecost Sunday, which is one of my favorite liturgical celebrations, and with balloons or pinwheels or always something really festive. So I have to admit that today, Trinity Sunday, isn't a favorite of mine, but it's better than nothing as far as church celebration goes. But I should tell you, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm getting a feedback, yes. As long as you can hear me. Great. I should tell you that after 3 years of seminary and 13 at least sermons on the Trinity, I find the Trinity hard to understand or to explain. I still, in other words, don't get it, and I can't articulate it. I mean, we do, yes, we worship a God who is three and yet one. And even though the Trinity is never explicitly mentioned or described that way in the Bible, God the Creator, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are spoken of and taught in Scripture. Now, we can talk about the Trinity in terms of attributes that God has. God is gracious, kind, and forgiving. Or we can talk about things God does. God creates, redeems, sustains. In other words, God is the creator of all that is, was, and will be. Jesus is God incarnate, or God made flesh, and is the redeemer of our sins. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as God's own spirit, or Jesus's own spirit, sent to sustain our work and Jesus' earthly ministry until he comes again. But it gets, the more we talk about it, the more complicated it gets. And we use, a lot of people anyway, use metaphors. One is water, steam, and ice, like liquid water, steam, and ice, to explain how one thing can be three things. But the problem with that is that water can't be steam at the same time as it's ice. While, of course, in the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one at the same time. Or I've heard, and maybe Joel has come across this in his research for the children's message, because people like to use the metaphors. And one metaphor is an egg, which is a shell, the white of the egg, and the yolk of the egg, or an apple, which is the peel and the flesh and the core. But, you know, come on, God is not an egg or an apple. And we speak of the three identities of God as people, right? Because God is not a thing. And I used to be drawn to maybe think that using the term, using rather the them pronouns, you know, them, their, theirs for God. I just think that made sense, but it's tricky now, right? That we use those pronouns for transgender people, right? Because just as I believe God is not a thing, I also believe that God is not gendered, but that means God is certainly not transgendered. It gets so complicated. And I know that that a lot of people for centuries and centuries and centuries have found comfort in the image of God the Father, right? The creator God is God the Father. And it is a biblical image, though also to a less frequent extent is the image of God as mother. So many people, someone's got a phone call coming in. Someone got a phone call coming in? Anywhere there? All right, I'm going to give it just a second because I can hear it. Maybe no one else can. Anyway, a lot of people aren't comfortable with this image of God the Father. And sometimes it's because they didn't have a good relationship with their earthly father. Sometimes they had an abusive relationship with their earthly father. Or maybe they had a wonderful relationship with their father, their earthly father, but they don't see that earthly dad as any more godly than their earthly mom. But still, another way to talk about God is through relationship, right? Relationship. So for the triune God, we might think of a mother, for instance, who can be a mother to a child, a wife, perhaps to a spouse, and a daughter to her own mother. So it seems that no single way to describe the Trinity will work perfectly because God is bigger and far, far beyond our human ability to understand, right? In fact, one of my favorite theological books is called A Big Enough God, because God is just bigger and bigger than we can imagine, and certainly bigger than we can describe. So the question is, why do we try then? Well, I think for one thing, because God gives us brains and inquiring brains, curious minds. And I also think it's because we love God, right? And just as, you know, we fall in love with an earthly romantic partner. We fall in love with, we can fall in love with a child, a daughter, a nephew, a grandchild. We can even sort of fall in love with a new friend, you know, someone that we're just entranced with. We want to know everything about them. And I think that's what theology, God talk, is all about. Knowing about our beloved, better about our beloved, and sharing the good news. So I want to ask y'all now if anyone wants to share how they think, or how perhaps have they been taught to think, or how they would like to think of the Trinity, the three persons of God. Anyone want to be brave? Feel brave. Okay, so here's a question. Does anyone remember my usual benediction? It's been 2 weeks, so you may have blocked it out. But I always say, right, I always talk of God and Mother. Got our teacher, got our friend. Those are helpful images for me. Not our father or our mother, but some kind of our parent. Some parental image is lovely, though, I think. So anyone else have any? I hate to put our worship committee chair on the spot, but I will. Did you grow up having a certain image of the Trinity, or did you come to, you know, see God in other ways?
Nope. So I did grow up Catholic, so I learned the there's a, you know, a sign, you know, the in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that stuck with me, and for a long time as a child, I just took it as that's the way it is. And over time, you know, I did kind of wonder what it all meant, you know, how is. And I think I sort of come up with the mystery, you know, that more than anything, it's, there's a mystery, but you can have faith in that mystery.
I think that's really powerful, because I think that's true. It's about faith. It's, you can believe without totally understanding. And that's a hard thing for some people to accept, I think, when they don't have belief. But when you do have belief, it's actually not so hard. You still want sometimes to be able to describe to people your image of God. But it's, except, especially for those of us who are, you know, smart and savvy and used to, you know, want to think for ourselves, it can be hard to sort of admit that we can't describe it, right? But that's the beauty of faith, right? Because faith isn't being certain, or faith is being certain without being able to understand sometimes, right? As Anne Lamott and others have said, the opposite of faith isn't certainty, isn't doubt rather, it's certainty. Like when we're certain about something, we don't, like I don't need I don't need faith to believe this is a bottle of water. This is a bottle of water, and it's really not very exciting. But you know, it's not. It doesn't have the power in my life that my faith has, right? So, yeah. So, you know, here's the thing. Does anyone else want, I don't want to cut anyone off, but does anyone else want to share anything they were taught or any image that struck them, surprised them, any image for God? Yes.
I grew up Anglican, Church of England, and I just believed whatever our pastor said. That was very... this was the way we were brought up, just to believe at Christmas. I believed that God had come to us in Jesus, and Jesus was God, and that was the way it was. And then when it was time when the Holy Ghost came and it was time for confirmations, I believed that here was God in his another form as the Holy Spirit. And I guess I followed along with each season as the church calendar changed. I changed my faith, just led me to believe whatever was that the church accepted and taught us at that time. Of course, I have other kinds of questions, but that was such a nice thing to believe at that time as a child, that God was whatever the church told us to believe.
Lindsay?
Yes. Thanks, Elaine.
Lindsay?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just discovered where the mute button was. In responding to what you say, God is, I see God in nature. God is in nature. God, that's why I mentioned forecast and weather. That's how we see the manifestations of God and how he loves us. So I see God as all around me. When I, it's not a thing or a cross or a light, it's anything. I open my heart and close my eyes. If you have poor vision, you can't depend on your eyes. You know, it's, you see what God allows you to see through the eyes given, and my perceptions, even though after 8 inches, I can't see anything beyond 8 inches clear, 8 inches clearly, I am led to believe what I feel is real. Therefore, God is not empirical faith. It's empirical faith. It's something beyond I can reason, beyond the science. God is faith. You have to have faith. We can't see atoms. But if you split a uranium-238 atom, you will see the light. Yeah, you'll see more than the light. God is there for us to believe. And you see him in your heart. You don't see him through any other vision. You can't taste God. You can hear God. I've heard him. So I relate to God as my faith decrees. That's how I feel, and I know he's there. And I know where the mute button is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. And again, it's wonderful to, I can see you, and that is a wonderful thing. And so thank you for sharing that as well. And I see Barbie has joined us. Before we move on, anyone else to want to say anything? Because as you've noticed, I wrote a very short sermon this time, both as my gift to you, and also because I didn't really have the energy to write a longer one. So I thank you all for some of you for helping me with it. Anyone else? Yeah, Patty.
Well, it just it occurs to me that we're creative. Most people think of being human as sort of being a trinity, like we have body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like God's given us a hint of who God is by the way that we are. the way we've been created in kind of three parts. Mm-hmm. And yet we're still one person. So it's kind of a similar thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. It's like, it's interesting to think of the ways we are made in the image of God, right? I obviously don't think, maleness is the way we are made in the image of God. But yes, our creativity, our loving kindness, perhaps, all so many of those attributes are good attributes, are reflections of the God we worship. Yeah, thank you. Excellent. Well, my friends, here's the thing. I think that the language we use about God is important, right? Because it's language we use about God's relationship with God's self. And that's sort of part of the way we respond to God's invitation to be part of that relationship, right? God constantly invites us to be part of that relationship. And that relationship, that invitation rather, is always open. And no matter how many times we turn away, we always have the chance to turn back. And so we give thanks to God, our powerful creator, our gracious Christ, and our sacred spirit. Amen.